Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today. We sit here on July 3rd, day before the holiday, where the Philadelphia Phillies will be playing on this holiday. They didn't play on Memorial Day, but they will be playing this holiday as they'll get set to play the Tampa Bay Rays. They're going to Florida the entire week. They'll be playing the Rays for 3 games. And then you got the Marlins right after those Tampa Bay Rays. So we have a week long down, 6 games against the Rays and the Marlins, but we'll get to that. We'll get to the Rays series. We're not going to talk too much about the Marlins. The Marlins have been great. I think they should be in where the Phillies should be at. Marlins are what, like 11 games over 500, something like that, 10 or 11 games. That's where I thought the Phillies would be at this point in the year, but they're not. We'll get to the series against Tampa, and we'll get into the series against the Marlins later in the week. But different-ish type of show today. Get into the normal stuff. We'll get into the recap of last night's game, get into the key moments. We'll start off with that. Then we'll get into my game takeaways against the Nats that rounded out the finale from the weekend. So we'll do the takeaways. Then we'll get into mid-season awards. We're just going to get into a couple. I'm not going to sit here and get stupid with it. I'm going to give you guys my MVP for the Phils so far this year, Cy Young, and Most Improved. So, we'll keep it simple, but we'll get into 3 awards for this year. I'm not going to get into anything weird or stupid, but those 3 awards for the year, for midseason, as we get closer to the All-Star game, where we're literally 8 days away. And then we will, and I'll talk more about the All-Star game later in the week. As I'm doing 3 episodes this week, I'll be doing today through Wednesday, and then Dan Wilson will have you to round out the week on Thursday. So, and then I'll preview you guys tomorrow's game against the Rays. Or I'm just going to really just preview you guys a series. I'll preview tomorrow's game tomorrow morning before the Phils play Tampa Bay. As you'll see, Eflin and Nola, former Philly. Someone we know. So we'll get into that. Then we'll get into a few news and notes, and then around the league and inside the National League East to end the show today before I come back to you guys tomorrow morning. So let's recap. Yesterday afternoon's game, it was not so beautiful. The Phils didn't play awful, but it was really just one bad inning by Ranger Suarez, who has been great, has been the best Phillies pitcher. Him and Taijuan Walker have been the best Phillies starting hurlers over the past month or so, and they've been just nails. So bottom of the first, started off well for the Phils. Looked like it was they were just leaving off where they were on Saturday, where they scored 19 runs. Bottom of the first, Nick Castellanos. Congratulations, Nick Castellanos. We're going to get into that. Phillies all-star this year, the only one representing the Phillies, definitely deserving of it. Hits a solo homer to left field. 1-0 game for the Phils. And then just later that inning, a couple batters later, JT Realmuto with a two-run bomb, 3-0 fightings. But then a couple of innings later, top of the third, you know, you can say whatever you want. Brandon Marston, not, who is usually a good fielder, did not does not field the ball well in left center field. And that was with one out in the inning. And later in the inning leads to a bases loaded jam for Stone Garrett. Phillies killer now. Stone Garrett, who hits a grand slam, a bomb out to left field, makes it a 4-3 game. And then to secure the win in the top of the fifth, Jamer Candelario, a very underrated player for Washington, hits a solo homer to make it a 5-3 game. And the Nats really wouldn't look back from there, or they wouldn't score any more runs. Nick Castellanos would hit an RBI double in the bottom of the seventh where Kyle Schwarber would score. But that wouldn't be enough, as Washington would win this game 5-4 on the heels of those Stone Garrett home runs, Garrett Grand Slam, and Candelario dinger. So the Phils lose this game 5-4. My takeaways from this game, really as simple as, and I know Ranger really only had the one bad inning technically. He gave up 7 hits, 5 earned, 5 strikeouts, 3 walks. And he's currently sitting the season at a 3.67 ERA. So really, not the greatest start from Ranger. Yeah, you can say whatever you want about Marsh's play, but Ranger still a bad inning from him. Doesn't matter. Like, he gave up the home run, he gave up the grand slam. Doesn't matter. You can say whatever you want about Brandon Marsh. And I heard, the great Larry Anderson say in the broadcast, well, you know, Marsh, well, it's baseball. Like, this, if that. Okay, like, doesn't matter. Rangers still had to try to get out of the inning. He didn't. That's on him. Whatever. Yeah, Marsh had a hand in that. And I did see Marsh after the game said, that's on me. That's not on Ranger. Like, good. I love that accountability. But at the same time, like, Rangers still had to try to get out of the inning. He does not. However you want to look at it. So, Ranger, not a great start compared to where what he did in the month of June, where he was absolutely incredible. And look, you can my first big takeaway from this is that this is definitely on Ranger still. I mean, 5 earned runs and 5 and a third innings. Coming off of the start in Chicago, where he goes 7 1/3, one of his best starts of the year, only 1 earned, 8 strikeouts. And, I mean, that's pretty much what he's done just this entire, over this last, 7-8 starts. I'm just trying to look at his splits from June. I mean, 1.08 ERA in 5 starts, and before that in the month of May, where he just coming off that injury, he had 7 ERA over 7 in 4 starts. So great to see from Ranger in the month of June, but not a great start to the month of July for Suarez. But look, Ranger has been very good. It's not like he's been super inconsistent. This is a bad start. Look, he's supposed to be your third or fourth starter. Like, okay, he's not going to be, he's not going to be Greg Maddux every time out. But he was not great in this start, and I think that was my biggest takeaway, is Ranger doesn't have a great start. Offense was fine, but again, it has been a theme this year. Runners in scoring position. They were 1-for-8 in runners in scoring position. Besides, those two bombs in the first inning from Castellanos and JT Realmuto, not a great, Castellanos has the RBI double. It seems like Nick Castellanos has been doing everything offensively. The Phils all-star this year now. But offense was good. You get 8 hits. 10 hits. I mean, yeah, 10 hits is great. But a couple of those hits need to come in with runners in scoring position. You're still 1-for-8 in runners in scoring position. And they're still 26th in Major League Baseball with a 2.46 average. at the plate with runners in scoring position. Not good enough. Need to be better. Again, hopefully they can fix this as the next couple of months go on, and especially after the All-Star break, where you're going into you're getting closer to the playoffs, and it just needs to be better. Needs to be a lot better. So that's okay. Yes, 10 hits, 4 runs. 4 runs isn't awful. You know, maybe Ranger has a better start and they win this game. Ranger gives you a quality start and the bullpen, gives you good innings in relief, which they did. I mean, the Marte, Alvarado, and Kimbrel were all good. The only hit there was given up by Alvarado. And Craig Kimbrel's just been great. I really put this mostly on, Ranger, who doesn't have a great start, and I put this on the offense not being able to show up with runners in scoring position, even though you did get the 2 long balls from Real Muto and Casty. So those are my takeaways. I'm not going to give you guys my series takeaways because I kind of wanted to get into this midseason awards, and then I'll preview the matchups for Tampa Bay. So midseason awards. Again, like I told you guys, we're getting to get into 3 MVP, Cy Young, and Most Improved. Thought that could be a little bit of fun. Not going to give you guys a Rookie of the Year. I mean, there's really not a... I don't think there's really a Rookie of the Year to give you, right? But maybe I'm wrong, but you tell me. So let's get into MVP. I thought this was kind of easy. Then the next two I kind of was struggling with to think about, which is always fun to a certain extent. But it's got to be Nick Castellanos, right? It's got to be Castellanos. The guy is the lone representative in the All-Star game. I mean, there's some people that were kind of trying to justify Bryce Harper being in the All-Star game, but Nick Castellanos is your All-Star. It's that simple. Bryce Harper missed a month, only had 3 home runs. Average OPS plus, still great, but Castellanos, it's got to be Nick Castellanos. He's leading the team in B-WAR right now, Baseball Reference's wins above replacement metric. He is leading the team in that right now. 12 home runs. I mean, no, he's not. He's on track to hit like 20 homers this year, but more importantly, the slash line, the 316, 358, 516 slugging percentage with an 874 OPS slash line, like that is a big deal. I think the fielding thing is a little overblown. Like, oh, he's a good fielder. Like, he's not a good, great fielder. I mean, if we're looking at the defensive run save metric, like, he's still -4. I mean, he's on track to kind of be where he was at last year with -8. But he's made some highlight reel catches. Highlight reel catches don't mean you're automatically a good fielder. But at the same time, like, Castellanos has been better in that aspect, but we'll see how he ends the season. Hopefully they get to the postseason and he's making those highlight reel catches once again, but highlight reel catches don't mean you're automatically a good fielder. But at the end of the day, Castellanos has to be your MVP. There have been other good players on this team as far as the offense goes. Brandon Marsh has had a good year. Stott has had a good year at the plate. Again, Harper, since he's come back with 51 games played, I think that does play a part in this, has had a good year technically at the plate. Alec Boehm been better at the plate as of late. But I think it's without a doubt, it's got to be Nick Castellanos. He's your MVP to this point right now. And let's get to next one, Cy Young. And this one was tough for me because, relievers don't win Cy Young Awards a lot. Okay, like, it doesn't happen that often. Even Mariano Rivera never won. The only ones I can really think of in my brain are did Eckersley win one? I forget. Someone from the A's won one. I know someone from the A's won one, but I know Eric Gagne won a Cy Young as a reliever in 2002, 2003, one of those years where he was just, that save streak, and he was just one of the best relief pitchers in baseball, if not the best. Mariano Rivera's come close. I think he's finished like second or third in MVP voting. But as a relief pitcher, it's really hard to win Cy Young's. No one from the rotation has been like outstanding. Like, yes, Taiwan Walker has been outstanding over his last couple of months. Same thing with Ranger Suarez, save for his last start. he was outstanding for a couple months here since he's come back from injury, but not enough starts though from Ranger. Like, he's missed a couple of months. He missed the first seven weeks ish. After the season started being injured. And I mean, no, that's technically in a way not his fault. But I mean, if I'm looking at the overall picture here, I can't include him. I was looking at Craig Kimbrell, but I mean, Craig Kimbrell still, like, his overall numbers on the year, a 3.71 ERA. Yes, he's been really good. You know, if you look at like his last, like, what, 10 to 15 appearances, been great. But I still think he has work to do to be considered, like, if I was considering this conversation, maybe a week or two from now, and he has like three or four more good appearances. I mean, his numbers look. I mean, that's the nature of relievers, especially at this point in the year. Wheeler up and two up and down. Zach Wheeler two up and down. Taiwan Walker. Did I mention Walker already? Yeah. I mean, Walker's been just, he was down and now he's up. So. And Andrew Vasquez was even another one. I mean, 1.7 ERA looks great. But again, hard for me to put a relief pitcher there. So the one person I could think of who hasn't had an incredible year, but I thought did a great job at the beginning of the year filling in as a fifth starter and has been a solid reliever, Matt Strom. Like, I'd give him, I know it sounds weird to say, and it's like, Francisco, how are you going to put Matt Strom? But I thought he's done his job as a starter and as a reliever. And this is more of the rest of, the rotation, and the pitching was really good in the month of June. But I'm talking about overall, the first half of the season. It's more about like the other parts. Again, like, there's no one outstanding. Like, Alvarado missed time. Okay, you might be able to make an argument for Vasquez, but I still like Strom overall. Just at the work that he did at the beginning. Yes, he's had some bad outings here and there. But 3.78, I think, ERA overall, through what, how many games, how many innings, like 51 innings. And, it was 51 innings. Yeah. 52 and a third innings, 3.78 ERA. He has 9 starts, 24 appearances, overall, just one save. But look, his ERA is 3.78, and that's, 14% above league average. Like, I would give Strom the nod there. I would give Matt Strom the nod as your best reliever to this point, or best pitcher in general to this point. So Matt Strom, in my mind, your best pitcher to this point. I know that's not like super like, oh, I like, all right, but I'm going with Strom at this point. So Matt Strom is my pitcher for your midseason awards right now. Matt Strom, Cy Young award, I guess, most improved. It came out of two players for me. Alec Boehm has been too up and down this year. I mean, I know he's been hot as of late. Came down to Bryson Stott, and it's come down to Brandon Marsh. Bryson Stott coming off his rookie year, to me, it wasn't great. But I mean, the jump he's made, overall at the plate has been very good. He's been a very disciplined hitter. Brandon Marsh had a hot April, and that's definitely contributed to maybe how I look at his numbers. And both are good fielders. I know it doesn't sound good to say that for the play he made yesterday, but generally, like, Brandon Marsh, good fielder. Bryson Stott, good fielder. But it came down to me, Bryson Stott being the more improved player and being the most improved player on the team. Just the all-around play, I just feel when I watch him, you look at the numbers overall, I just think Bryson Stott is the most improved player here, a little more than Marsh. Maybe Marsh power numbers a little more, but Stott overall, what do you want to go? Batting average, on base, overall, just and just to go with his overall fielding, I think a little bit better, but I wouldn't be mad if you said Brendan Marsh, but you tell me, would you take Marsh? Would you take Stott? Who would you take? Maybe it's not one of those two. Who do you like as the most improved player for the Phils? But those were only really two names I was looking at. Derek Hall obviously has missed a lot of time. Now he's back. Maybe he would have been a candidate, but it was those three that I, or those two I looked at, Martian stats. So Castellanos MVP, Matt Strom, your Cy Young, it sounds weird to say, but most improved, Bryson Stott. So let's quickly, sorry, I went a little longer there on the midseason awards, but we never do that, so why not? A little fun there on the midseason awards. But tell me, who would you take as MVP, most improved, and Cy Young? Tell me those. Quickly, before we end here, going to preview the matchup against the Rays. The Rays are sitting here on the year, I think, with still the best record in baseball, right? Yeah, technically, they have one more win than the Braves, but they played like a couple more games than the Braves. 57-30, first place in the American League East. And again, they're still, like, technically, they're the best team in baseball. And I still, look, you just got to accept that they're probably going to be one of the best. I mean, you never know. August, September come, but I mean, they're still second in runs scored, third in home runs. I mean, first in stolen bases, like the offense has been on, third in on base percentage, third in batting average. Starting pitching, first in ERA. Now, thank God the Phillies don't have to face Shane McClanahan. He's hurt, unfortunately. He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball over the last season and a half, really ever since he's come into baseball. Relief pitching, 11th in ERA, 9th in WHIP. So, I mean, overall, they're still a great team, and they don't seem to be slowing down anytime soon. And you got to face Zach Eflin tomorrow on one side, who's been very good, of course, for the Tampa Bay Rays. But I think no matter what, if you left the Phillies, you know, needed to change the scenery. So he'll go up against Aaron Nola tomorrow, and Nola has been super up and down. We're looking for that spark where Nola's going to start going on a run and being Aaron Nola, but apparently he wants to be Aaron Nola of a couple of years ago. So Aaron Nola against Zach Eflin, hopefully he can give you a good outing against Eflin, who's been just very good this year. Yanni Chirinos versus Taiwan Walker on Wednesday. And then Thursday, the fifth starter, Christopher Sanchez versus Jalen Beeks of the Tampa Bay Rays. So it's going to be a tough series, man, but hopefully maybe take 2 of 3. I mean, I would love to take 2 of 3 against them and Miami. So it's going to be, we'll preview more of tomorrow's game tomorrow morning for the Phillies against Tampa Bay Rays. News and notes, you saw yesterday Derek Hall goes 1 for 4, but they finally call up Derek Hall after being injured for, you know, a little while there. But it's good to have Derek Hall back, especially for the depth of this team. Cody Clemens gets optioned. Yes, Clemens had a couple of good months, but Clemens needed to be optioned. I think Derek Hall needed to get a, you know, back up and get a chance. But good for the depth of this team, you know, good for the depth. And then update on Andrew Painter. So Painter is scheduled to face live hitters in a batting practice section on Tuesday, which is tomorrow. Rehab assignment might not be too far off for the Phil's number one prospect. That's according to MLB Pipeline. So we will, yeah, it's good for Philly's depth. Theme there with Derek Hall and Cody Clemens' depth. I mean, the Phillies need some depth. I still think they need to do some things at the trade deadline, and mentioned that a few episodes ago. We'll talk about that more and more as we get closer to the trade deadline, which is less than a month away. It's fun and exciting. Quickly, just going to give you guys some around scores around just the National League East. So obviously, we lost to the Nats yesterday, 5-4. Braves just keep winning. They beat the Miami Marlins 6-3. Marlins still a great team as they sit second in the National League East. Mets take 2 of 3 from the Giants. They win 8-4 there yesterday in Sunday Night Baseball. And just real quickly, the standings when we're looking at the National League East, 56-27 for Atlanta in first place, 48-37 Miami. Us, the Phils, 44-39, 5 games over .500, third place in the NL East where they've sat for a little while now. Mets, 38-46. They have a good start to their July after a horrendous, awful month of June. And then the Nats, 34-49, as they improve to that record after beating the Phils and winning that series. And just quickly on the wild card standings, where do the Phils stand? I believe they are about a game and a half back of the Giants, who have the third spot. So there the Phils are, and they're a half game back of Milwaukee and Cincinnati, who are trying to fight there in the National League Central. But technically, Cincinnati's leading the Central too. So, but you know, that fluctuates there in the National League Central. They're terrible. It's just as bad as the AL Central is almost not as bad because, I mean, the Twins are, my gosh, the Twins are 42-43 leading that division. But who knows what's going to happen there. So that's going to do it for me. I will be back tomorrow morning. I'll be back Wednesday as well. And Dan will have you to round out the week. So day off today for the Phils. And we'll come back tomorrow on the holiday. And we will talk about the series against Tampa Bay Rays. So that's going to do it for me. Francisco Rojas, talk to you guys tomorrow morning.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more Messi. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to Messi exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's infinitely refreshing!